Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight. What a great crowd we have. And for the first time in 2 years, I get to see your faces. And I am grateful for that. Unfortunately, you have to see mine again. But it is really good to see you all this week. My wife was commenting yesterday on our way in. She said, it's just so enjoyable to go back to a place where you've been before, because you already know people and you're acquainted with them and you're able to catch up and see how God is working in their lives. And then to know that there will be missionaries here that have, you know, the pastor has sought to bring into the church that he feels that would be a good a good fit with this church and your missions program. And especially when I know the missionaries already, I get excited about that. And we were with the Maymans just a few weeks ago down in Macon, Georgia, to be with the Bundys. And now we know the cause of COVID. God allowed it to happen so they could meet and get to know one another and eventually get married. So I'm really glad you got that over with, brother, and we could move on. But just to spend time with them, and then Brother Anderson, of course, to meet him for the first time, and we had actually spent time in prayer for he and his family over the last couple of years and heard their name mentioned many times at the mission with his wife's illness. So to be able to put a face with the name and make his acquaintance today, it's already been a good day, and we thank the Lord for that. But it is the beginning of the missions conference, and we think, you know, oftentimes thinking as a speaker coming into a church like this, you think, what could I possibly say that hasn't already been said? But that's where I need to be, because it puts me on my knees, and the Lord, I have to say, Lord, what is the messages that you would have for this church to have in 2022? What is the vision for the future for them? When we're talking about missions, honestly, the vision is something that the Lord has given to us as we study the scripture. It's something that we see in the life of Christ that we'll look at here tonight for a few moments, but in just a few moments. But really, how do we evaluate ourselves and where we are spiritually and measure that against where the Lord wants us to be? You know, if you're like me, oftentimes you will find yourself in your walk, and you do not do this intentionally. I believe you're going along doing the best that you can, but all of a sudden you find yourself somewhat stale. Does anybody else here ever have that? Okay, help me out. Okay, or I'm going to preach for a long time. But thank you, pastors. Yeah, no, we got places to go. Anyway, but we all, unintentionally, we end up in these places, and honestly, when we get to that place and we realize I feel somewhat stale or stagnant, it's a great time for us to say, Lord, help me to reevaluate, help me to reprioritize my life, and Lord, don't help me not to miss something you're trying to do in me that will make me accomplish all that you have for me to accomplish with my life. What a great thing to stand at the end of our life and look back and go, wow, I think we've done all that God asked us to do. You say, do you believe that we could do that? Do you feel like we could reach that point in our life? Well, to live a life and to look back and not have regrets or minimize the regrets and to say we've done all, and every time the Lord says go or do, we were faithful and we said we'll go, we'll do whatever he asked me to do. I think it's good for us to revisit that on a regular basis, and that's what we're going to do in the missions conference in 2022. God's hand is upon this church. I don't know if you realize that. Sometimes when you're a part of it, you don't understand all that God's doing. But let me tell you, as someone who comes to visit, you can come here and know that God is doing something. It's not just about building buildings. It's not just about the steel that's going up in the concrete. We're going to enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy seeing Brother Scott, Brother Brandon, and Brother Jeremy in a hard hat. That's going to be the highlight of my day on Saturday. But it really isn't about those measurable growths. It's about the individuals having a heart for God and having the Spirit of God in this congregation so that the Lord can move in this congregation and know that people are going to be obedient to his voice. That's what makes this place so attractive. That's what makes it enjoyable for us and for other missionaries and visitors to come in. Let me tell you, they hear that there's something special about this church, and they want to come because something real is going on here, and they want to find out what it is. Well, tonight we're going to go to Mark chapter number 4. We're going to spend some time here in this portion of Scripture. It's a familiar portion of Scripture, and of course it's a missions conference, so it will have some appropriate principles when it comes to missions and our view of missions and God's view of missions. But my desire tonight, and I hope that he allows us to get to this point, is that we leave this place tonight and we understand more about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by the character? We'll see it tonight as we develop the story in Mark chapter number 4, how that he came for a purpose. And his desire all through his earthly ministry was to fulfill that purpose. And of course, we know that purpose was to do the will of his Father. In Mark chapter number 4, in the first part of the chapter, the Lord is there in a boat. If you look in the first few verses, we're not going to read it for sake of time, but just for context, he is seated in a boat there off the coast, and he's teaching the multitudes, and he's teaching them by a number of parables. And at the end of the chapter, he gets to a point where he closes out, if you will, the service that's going on there on the seashore. And he turns to those that are accompanying him, his disciples, and he's about to give them a command of what's next. You know, tonight I have in front of me right here an order of service. I can't read it because I'm over 50 and someone who wrote this is much younger than I am. But I do believe on this, it tells us everything that is going to happen tonight. It's something that we need to follow in order to accomplish all that we came here to do. The Lord came here, our Lord Jesus came here, and he came here for a purpose. He had things that he knew that God wanted him to do. But the disciples really weren't privy to that information. I don't think their security clearance was high enough, to be honest. But he would give them directives, and he expected obedience from them. And we see, as we study the Gospels in the life of Christ, we see that each time the disciples were obedient to the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were able to witness things that were supernatural that they never would have been able to experience had they continued on the path that they were on when the Lord Jesus passed their way. Mark chapter number 4, let's begin reading in verse number 35. It says, and we'll start with verse number 34. But when without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, and I love this phrase, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Tonight, from this portion of Scripture, I really want us to begin the conference this week by just reminding ourselves, or maybe you're learning this for the first time, a little more about the character of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in his earthly ministry, he was always seeking after someone that was lost. He was always seeking to make a difference in a person's life. And every directive, everything that was ever commanded to the disciples, there was always a purpose, not only in the person they were going to minister to, but there was also a purpose that God was trying to do something in the life of the person that he was speaking to. Tonight, I want you to see, first of all, his direction. Look again at verse number 35. Again, he's already been involved in doing good things for the Lord. He's been teaching folks all day long. But in verse number 35, I want us to see his direction again as he turns to his disciples. And he says, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I've shared my own personal testimony with you before here, but I still remember that time in April of 1989 when I was sitting there in a college auditorium and Dr. Don Sisk was preaching a missions conference, and I had known him since I was old enough to know anybody. And I still have that cassette of him in 1969 when he was preaching. I think I told you, I went to him a couple of years ago. I said, "Doc, I still have this cassette of you preaching in 1969. He said, "Throw it away." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It probably wasn't any good then." He said, "It certainly isn't any good now." You know, I love his sense of humor. But I've known him for so many years, and here he is. He's standing up there preaching, as I had heard many times, and he was talking about surrender. Well, my salvation, I just got my salvation settled in September of 1988. So here I am as a new believer, already enrolled in Bible college, sitting in my first mission conference as a believer. And Dr. Sisk is preaching, and he's talking about this surrender. And I remember the Lord very specifically saying, "Brian, I want you to go into missions, and I want you to be a missionary pilot." And I can remember today looking at the ceiling. You say, "Why did you look at the ceiling?" Well, I knew it didn't come from up there. And nothing comes from behind you in church, right? That's spiritual, right? I'm just teasing. So I looked up, and I can just remember chuckling, thinking, "That's the craziest thing I've ever heard." The reason I thought it was crazy is because he was asking me to do something that I didn't feel I was qualified to do. But you've heard the statement many, many times, the Lord does not call the equipped, he equips the called. He's not looking for someone with talents, he's looking for someone with a servant's heart. He's looking for someone with a heart of obedience and someone that's willing to be used by God. And he can take that individual and do things far beyond anything you could have thought or even imagined. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and about a year ago we began to see her imagination begin to prosper or grow. And I can remember she would, instead of having to be entertained, suddenly she could take something and entertain herself with it and kind of spin around the room, and everything was a princess and everything was a prince. And I convinced her one day that I was her prince and that I could give her true love's kiss. And she was like, "Oh." And I was like, it was one of those moments that granddad's heart melted. You know, I didn't do that with my kids. I was too tough. But my granddaughter, she takes me to a different level. Amen. I allow her to hug me when she has glitter on her dress. I despise glitter. We went today and had it all vacuumed out of the car because she was with us last week. You know, when we think about what we are capable of doing, let me tell you, you will always sell yourself short of what God is able to do through you. But when you yield to him, the possibilities that open to you, if I could go back to 1989 with the knowledge that I have now, and the Lord were to say, "I want you to go into missions," I'd be like, "Oh yeah, take me." Why? Because now I've seen God take insufficiencies on my behalf and turn them into miracles on his part. I've seen him take a young man that only grew up speaking 2 languages, Tennessean and English, and help him to be able to speak Spanish and lead someone to Christ in their own heart language. You know, I've been able to go into villages that I never even had even heard about and sit at the table with people who had never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. In no way they knew what Christ could do in their heart and in their life and what he wanted to do with their heart in eternity. You know, as I look back on my life, I think, wow, I'm so glad I made that decision. But it came only after I listened to his direction. Some things about his direction we see here in verse number 35. Understand that direction is from the Lord. How do we receive direction from the Lord? Well, his word, number one, in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me tell you, the greatest tool that we have at our disposal is the fact that we have God's word right before us, and we can refer to it any time of any day or night in our life. We can always look to it, and we can always rest assured that the voice of God and the principles of God's word will penetrate our heart and will give us the direction, just like that verse said when it talked about it being a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. I'm glad I don't have to walk into the dark. I'm glad that I can walk with the principles of the word Word of God. And it helps me to know as I read God's Word and He talks about surrender and He talks about our service to the Lord being a sweet smelling savor to Him. I'm glad that I can read that and have confidence and my faith is increased to say, when the Lord speaks to my heart and says, I want you to do this, I can with confidence say, Lord, you've done amazing things in my life already, and I'm going to say yes to this because I want to see what you have in store for me. His direction is given to us through His Word. Secondly, His direction is given to us through His Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, His Spirit, that's one of the great tools that we have, one of the great benefits of being a believer. We're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting, when you talk about the Holy Spirit with a lost person, they have no idea what you're talking about. When you talk about being convicted about something, they think, well, that's your conscience. No, it's a holy directive from the third person of the Trinity, God Himself and the person of the Holy Spirit of God, that is leading me and guiding me and saying, Brian, this is a better way. This is the best way. If you'll trust me in this, I can help you to see things from a different perspective. I can help you to go places that your grandma doesn't even know exist. I can help you to have discernment and wisdom in situations that are way beyond your knowledge and your ability. And the Lord says, I will do that. And He directs us through His Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Lord Jesus, even in His own life, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, if it's important enough for the Lord Jesus to be led by the Spirit, I do believe that you and I should endeavor to be led by the Spirit every day. Now, let's look at the practicality of being led by the Spirit for a moment. Let's just say, Brother Brian, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a pastor, I'm not in the ministry. What does being led by the Spirit mean to me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because really, we overthink it sometimes, but it's that still small voice that seeks to direct our path. Let me give you a recent example in my life, and this is something that I have to work on a daily basis, but when God does something like I'm about to tell you about, it makes me want to walk in the Spirit 24/7, 365. A few months ago, I shared a prayer request with you a couple of years ago about a man named Stan. I had led Stan's father to Christ. His name was John. He was 78 years of age, and then he went into dementia shortly after getting saved at the age of 78. Well, his son Stan was a bodybuilder and a heavy equipment mechanic, and Stan really did not want anything to do with God. He would always take the conversation that I was trying to start. He would segue into something else and never really allowed me to talk to him about the Lord. And so I surrendered back into missions. I left the town, and I was like, Lord, I had these people that I had been working on for some time, in some cases years. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What's going to happen with Stan? What's going to happen with Billy D and some of these other folks? And the Lord said, just maintain contact with them. When I tell you to text them, text them. When I tell you to call them, call them. And so I kept that going for a couple of years. I'm back in Clarksville, my hometown, last summer. Just for a day, we were on our way somewhere else and stopped in to see my dad. And at that time, my grandkids were still living there. And, you know, all roads go past grandkids' house. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm by myself, and the Lord said, Brian, call Stan. So I said, Siri, call Stan. Stan didn't answer the phone, which was kind of unusual, but he didn't answer the phone, so I left him a message. I said, Stan, this is Brian. The Lord told me to call you today and to let you know that He loves you. And hung up. As soon as I hung up, the Lord said, now text him. So I did like every good Christian. I pulled off the road. Do you believe that? I think I did. And I texted Stan. I said, Lord, what do you want me to text him? He said, text him the same thing you just told him on the voicemail. So I texted him. Stan, God put you on my heart today. He wants you to know that He loves you. No response. I go on down the road. I'm bouncing my granddaughter on my leg. About an hour later, my phone rings. I see it's Stan calling me back. And I was like, I'm glad he's calling me back. So I put my granddaughter down and I answered the phone. And the voice on the other end of the phone, something was wrong, but I was still trying to figure out what it was. I didn't know if maybe he was inebriated or something of that nature, but I soon realized he wasn't. And I said, "Stan, what's going on?" And he said, "Do you know where I am?" I said, "No, Stan, I don't." He said, "Do you know what I was doing when you sent me that text?" I said, "Stan, I have no idea." He said, "What do you mean God loves me? And what do you mean God put me on your heart?" See, the world doesn't understand this being led by the Spirit. It's completely foreign to them. But here's what Stan told me, and I don't think I'll ever get over it. He said, "When you sent me that message and you called me," he said, "I was ending my own life." He said, "I was already unconscious." He said, "I was hanging from a hook on the wall." He said, "The hook came out of the wall and I fell to the floor unconscious. My girlfriend heard the commotion. She kicked in the door. She resuscitated me. And I picked up my phone and it said, 'Stan, I want you to know God loves you.'" And he breaks down and he starts crying. He goes, "What do you mean God loves me?" And Stan got saved. That's way beyond my pay grade. I didn't get that degree. But I'm so glad that the Lord could say to me at that moment of time, "Brian, call Stan." Because I didn't know where Stan was. I didn't know what was going on in his life. I've been praying for him for years, but the Lord just simply needed a vessel through which to speak. And timing was of necessity. I visited with Stan. He almost died again a couple of months ago. He called me and he said, "I just got out of the ICU. I almost died again. This time it wasn't my fault." He said, "I'm in a regular room." I said, "I'm actually in town." And I said, "Can I come see you?" And I went with him because, you know, sometimes you deal with somebody on the phone and you're just not sure if everything's just right or they didn't say it the way you wanted them to. And I walked in the room at the hospital that morning and I had my Bible with me and I'd already told my wife, "I'm turning my phone off. I don't care how late we are leaving today. I'm not leaving that hospital until I know some things about Stan and I know that he's got it settled." I walked in the room and I walked past the first person. And this was my first hospital visit since before COVID. And I walked past the first person. I walked around the corner, and there's Stan sitting there with his hand behind his head. And he grinned from ear to ear. And let me tell you, his countenance was a changed man. I didn't even have to ask him if he was saved. I could see God all over him. It was a wonderful experience. So then I let him start telling me about his life and how that he married his girlfriend and that he's in church and he's doing all these great things. And then I was able to tell him, because I never had been able to tell him before, I got to tell him about leading his dad to Christ. He said, "When was that?" I said, 2014. He said, "You know, my dad and I never got along." He said, "In 2014, my dad called me and we went to lunch." He said, "And until my dad had to go into a home because he didn't know anybody anymore," he said, "we had lunch every Saturday." He said, "Something was different about him, but," he said, "Dad, really the dementia had kicked in and he really couldn't tell me what was going on. We just enjoyed being together." And I said, "Stan," I said, "do you know you're going to spend eternity with your dad in heaven?" And man, he just started weeping. And I was thinking to myself, there's two men in the same family that the Lord's given me the privilege to lead to Christ. The first thing we notice about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his character was that he wanted to maintain the right direction, and that direction came from his Father. And you and I have access to the same direction today. You know, I want you to get up in the morning and say, "Lord, which way should I drive to work? Which store should I stop at on the way? Or which bank teller should I walk up to their window?" I know you do everything by your phone nowadays, but the truth is we should be looking for his direction in some of the mundane things that we do every day, because the Lord has you right where he needs you to accomplish his purpose. We just need to tune into his direction as the Lord Jesus Christ did so that we can accomplish all that he has for us to accomplish. Secondly, I want you to notice his devotion. Look at chapter number 5 and verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Understand that at the end of chapter number 4, he had already dealt with the wind and the rain and the sea. He had already calmed the storm. He had already calmed the heart of the disciples. That was part of what he was seeking to accomplish, to show them that he had power over the wind and the waves. But his devotion was, there was a man on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that no man could tame, no man could bind him with chains or with fetters, no man could even be around him. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he needed, and that was Christ in his life. And his devotion, Christ's devotion to the direction of God, was that at any cost, we're going to cross the sea, and when we get across the sea, we're going to do what God sent us here to do. I don't know about you, but if we need to, I want to find God's purpose in my life, and I want to be all in all the time. I don't want to slumber. I don't want to sleep. I understand we have to sleep, but I do not want to tire. I do not want to be stopped by the obstacles. I want to always be looking for, what does God want me to do? For you here tonight, maybe some of you are here and the Lord's already been dealing with your heart about the possibility of going on a missions trip for the first time. Maybe that direction in his life is he's saying, I want you to take it to a new level. I don't want you just involved in the missions program. I want to show you firsthand what it's like to be on the mission field. And you might be thinking, wow, that's out there. I'm good. And the Lord's like, no, I just want to show you another facet of surrender. I want to show you what I'm able to do in you and through you. Several years ago, I took some folks from our church to Peru, and we were down in, I just forgot the name of the street we were on. You're going to help me with it. Gamara. You know where that is, brother. Hundreds of thousands of people walking up and down the street, and we're handing out tracts and Bibles, and the Peruvian people, they're so tender. And they would stop and they would begin to read through the Bible. And so many times they would turn to us and say, can I ask you a question about this book? And some of my folks would get on the bus when we would leave there. And they would say, Pastor, why don't I do this at home? And I was like, I don't know. God wanted them to be more tender. He took them to another place so that he could work on their heart. Because he's devoted to doing the things of God. How do we know that? In his life at the age of 12, he was in the temple teaching. He was baptized by John at the beginning of his earthly ministry. He came to the destitute, the outcast, and the abandoned. He was always looking for someone just like the woman at the well so that he could introduce them to salvation. What is his desire? In chapter number 5 and verse number 13, we'll look at this quickly. In verse number 13, chapter number 5, he says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, that's the unclean spirits, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. What's his desire? His desire is to set the sinner free. His desire was to make a difference in this young man's life that no one else could tame. What does he want to do? Look at the life of Christ. He wanted to make the blind to see. He wanted to make the lame to walk. He wants to make the deaf to hear. All are a result of the curse of sin. His greatest accomplishment was becoming the substitute, the sacrifice, and the atonement for my sin. Did he deserve it? No, he did not deserve it. Why did he do it? Because it was the directive that was given to him by God the Father. And I say to you, my friend, as his example is set forth to us in Scripture, his character was to fulfill the purpose. And that's why he's able to say at the end, it is finished. Why? The directive, the mission has been accomplished. All that he was sent to do had been done. And my friend, I say to you, the same directives can be given to us. Sure, it may not lead to a cross. Sure, that burden may not be upon us. But the opportunities that he has for us, he's chosen us to be his spokesman in his absence. He's chosen us to be vessels that he's able to walk through. Whether it's giving to missions, going into missions, whether it's witnessing to the person in the next cubicle or the person that's at the store or picking up the phone and instead of saying, well, I wonder why Stan comes to mind. That's bizarre. No, you say, the Lord brought them to mind. I wonder why this person came to mind. Because they need a word of encouragement. Listen to that still small voice. Be engaged with the directives that the Lord has given you. Be devoted to the directives that he's given you. And my friend, in the end, you're going to be able to rejoice because you're going to see God do something in you and through you that you never would have imagined. How many of you are with me tonight? God has a purpose in you. He didn't save you just so you could go to heaven. It's logical to think about this. If he just wanted you to go to heaven the day you got saved, he'd been like, okay, come on. Why did he leave you here? Why do you live in your neighborhood? Well, I got a good deal on that house. Where did you get the good deal? Well, the realtor. Think a little higher. Why do you think you have that job? Well, because I'm qualified. Who gave you the ability to complete a sentence? We're not all we think we are. But we're who he wants us to be. We're where he wants us to be. At the time he wants us to be there. And he just simply says, hello, let me use you. When pastor says, I want you to pray about going on a missions trip, you know who he's talking about? He's talking to the person that realizes there's a directive in Scripture to be involved in what Christ is doing through us and through you as a church. And you say, Lord, is this me? Lord, is this me? You want me to go? I'm ready to go. I want to go. You might say, I'm still a little scared. That's all right. I still get a little scared sometimes when I go on missions trips. You say, why? Because of the unknown. You know what the known is? Who's with me? Who led me? Who went before me? Who called me? Who saved me? Who's got my eternal home in heaven? I guess he's got it covered. That sounds a little sarcastic, but that's where we live, is it not? We second guess the Lord because we just can't see it. That's why it's called a walk of faith. Embrace it, surrender to it, and sit back and say, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to stay close to Brother Jeremy. He's a veteran. That's Brother Jeremy on the other side of the curtain. You know, are we going to make our next flight? Are we going to have food that we can all eat? Is anybody going to get sick? Is anybody going to have to go to the hospital? Trust the Lord. He goes before you. And on the other end of the phone, on the other end of the journey, there's a Stan. Your Stan. Maybe you haven't met him yet. Maybe you'll just be acquainted when you reach that destination. But there's somebody there on the other side that only Christ can heal. And he's going to allow you to be a part of it. And it's going to be one of the most exciting things you've ever seen in your life. And you're going to change. Because it's going to create a thirst in you that you've never experienced before. And it's a thirst to be used and available to God at any time. So my simple question to you tonight is, are you willing tonight in your heart to say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I hear you. I don't understand it. And honestly, right now, you might want to do like I did and look up at the ceiling. But that's okay. In your heart, you can look up and say, Lord, I don't understand all that you're trying to do in me and through me. But I hear you. Lord, give me the courage to say yes. Would you do that tonight? Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a moment. Even right now, and the Lord speaking to your heart, and we're going to have hymn number 390, I Surrender All, in just a moment, but can you sing that song and say, Lord, I do truly surrender all? Can you in your heart right now say, Lord, I hear you? Can you say, Lord, I know you're working. I can see you've orchestrated this in my life. You've brought me to this church. That Sunday school lesson that spoke to my heart recently, the song that spoke to my heart recently, the message that I heard that has prepared me for missions conference. Lord, you're doing something. You're narrowing the focus of your aim on my heart. And Lord, tonight I just simply want to say, I hear you. I hear you. If you say, I hear you, Lord, you're speaking. Would you just slip your hand up and let me see you? No one's looking around, but you know the Lord is speaking to you. Hands all over the auditorium. I see you. Thank you. You can put them down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Brian, it's past. I hear you. I know he has a specific directive that he's given to me. And I want you to pray for me. Here's my hand. I know there's something specific. I see your hand. I see your hand. Around the auditorium, I see your hand. Someone else. The Lord's given me specifics. And I hear him. And I want you to pray for me. Here's my hand. Anyone else? Okay, you can put your hands down. Lord, I come to you tonight, and Lord, my heart's desire truly is to accomplish your purpose. Lord, if it's witnessing to someone at the hotel or someone at the store or someone in the workplace or perhaps it's someone in a rest area as we're on the road all the time, or maybe it's by sharing a text with someone that we've been praying for in their salvation. Lord, we want to be available to you. Lord, if it's about our surrender just to you in general as Lord of our lives, Lord, give us the courage to do that tonight. Lord, help us to turn loose of all of the details that we're holding on to or we desire before we fully surrender. But Lord, help us to give you that sheet that we're trying to fill out and just say, Lord, you fill it out. And I say yes. Lord, I pray for the person that's, Lord, they're timid, they're shy, they're somewhat fearful right now in their heart about saying yes to you. Lord, calm their fears. Lord, give them the courage to say yes and give them a glimpse of what that life of surrender will look like so that they can see the benefits to that life. Lord, I pray that this invitation would be profitable for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we do pray. Would you stand to your feet, your head bowed, your eyes closed? If the Lord's speaking to your heart, my friend, please feel free to come tonight. Even right now as others come, God's speaking to your heart. You may not have all the details, but maybe tonight is just that night that you bring him that sheet and say, Lord, you fill it out. My name's signed at the bottom. Whatever you would have me to do, would you come? Mm-hmm.